Simon from the White, and today I'm at Braiding Roman Villa, and we're with
Lindy Moles, lives in Ryde, okay. Artist on the island.
This is, well, you're here at the at the Braiding Roman Villa to hang a show, your mm-hmm. artwork.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit different, isn't it?
Yes, not something everyone gets straight away. It's tactile art, so anything that's labelled as touchable, as on one of the labels, is fine to be felt, which makes a difference. One of the last taboos, visual art on the wall that you can touch.
Right. Yep. I mean, that's worth pointing out, is it's visual as well as tactile,
yes.
i.e. touchable.
Yes. Well, people might argue, is it visual? Because it's mostly white.
Mm.
But the idea behind that is to bring out maybe a pattern from the landscape or an element of a visual image that you wouldn't necessarily see normally because of it being just completely lost in
right.
the colour that would
right.
be there.
Right.
So minimalist, take away the colour and therefore emphasise a particular pattern or element of something.
That's an interesting idea that the colour, visual elements become a distraction from what's actually there.
Well, we are in a very visual society, especially these days. They're everywhere. Visual hoardings, internet images come at you from everywhere. So to actually take some time away from that and contemplate something that isn't that much in your face is an interesting way of looking at it, I think.
And is this something you've been developing for a while, or that do you call it tactile? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's tactile.
I'm thinking haptic.
Well, it is haptic as well. Yeah, it's
the same. What's haptic and tactile? The
same thing. Okay. Haptic is a haptic experience. Tactile is something you can touch. So there we go.
Okay.
Yes, but it's something I've been doing for a good few years now, actually. And I love the research into the materials to make them robust enough to be touched as
right.
well. Obviously, that's an important element.
Mm.
But it's also very interesting to sit and observe people seeing white art that they're allowed to touch. People are either quite furtive, you know, they look at their hands and think, oh, is this going to be all right? Or they actually just get stuck into it, which is lovely.
Right.
Yeah.
Before we spoke, I did walk up and sort of gingerly.
Yeah, so you did the same.
The
so you only just about touched it.
Yeah.
But, you know. So did you find anything when you were touching?
I didn't probably spend enough time on it. This is actually the one that is this an orange segment maybe?
Well, the clue's in the title, really.
Yeah.
Haptic
lemons.
But if touch the idea behind this one is. If you imagine a heavily impasto surface, very textured. If you have an oil painting, perhaps that's really been troweled on, you know, that kind of image in your head, for a still life of lemons. Okay, so this could be a still life of lemons.
Okay.
It just hasn't got any colour.
Yeah,
and this is the kind of surface that I have been escorted out of galleries for having touched the real paintings.
Oh, really? Right, right. Okay.
So this is a heavy.
So the interest in how the 3D-ness
yes.
of it has interested you for a long time.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah,
right.
For a very long time. And so this is a picture of a whole sequence of lemons that might just as easily be a coloured still life kind of picture, but I've taken the colour's not there, obviously. And if you touch this particular piece of the cut segment of a lemon, and then smell your fingers.
Oh, really? Okay.
Have a go.
Wow. Okay.
Scratch and sniff painting.
Right. Stroke and sniff. Very good.
So there's a...
That's really powerful as well.
I know. I quite like the lemon.
The tone is slightly different on that, so I guess that's the...
That's because there's an extra surface on it.
I see, right.
When you create a painting like this, you're actually working backwards to some extent, because in order to create a surface that's robust enough to be touched, you're working back from... the surface you might normally work with if you're doing a coloured painting. So I have to build the impasto, the textured finish, then paint it, then varnish it quite a lot,
right,
to make sure that it's robust enough,
right,
and then put the scratch and sniff on,
right, okay.
Because otherwise you're not going to be able to.
So this lemon one, for example, the material that you've put on here is white paint, is it?
Oh, there's white paint. There's filler.
Yeah.
It's a concoction, really. Because it's on canvas, it needs to be... It's no good using plaster, for example, because plaster would then crack from the surface. So, yes, it's a combination of filler, PVA,
right,
that I've concocted to make that work. And it, you know, plonked on completely, troweled on with a palette knife.
Yeah.
As you would if you were doing an oil painting.
Yeah, yeah. And so when somebody who came to this who hasn't got sight, and this may be an utterly ignorant question, but would they identify these as lemons?
That with help,
the scale right or
no? The scale, because they're very large, aren't they? They're in a blown up version of lemons, if you like. But the important thing for someone who has visual impairment is to have edges.
Okay.
And if they can touch the edges of something, they can say, oh, well, it's actually an oval. What is that? It's got quite a lot of texture. They may realise it's a lemon.
Yeah.
So it's a bit more abstract than perhaps is easily imagined as a visually impaired person. But something like the map one, amazingly, really works.
Ah, right.
Because I find it quite extraordinary that somebody who's visually impaired may not have been visually impaired all their lives, obviously, but can have a complete mental picture of Newport.
Right, I understand that's very strong, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they can touch this surface and work out where am I, where do I live, you know, that kind of thing.
Are there such things as Braille maps?
Yes, there are. Yes,
right,
there are.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's something that maybe people would have...
May have been familiar with,
that
yes, that's right.
Okay, okay.
Although, obviously, I've got different textures on there for water and woodland and things like that.
And the going back to this, the lemon one we have here, the way you described it was where the colour dropped out of it, and certainly there's the lemons. Maybe I'll take a photo so people understand a little bit. Hopefully the photos will translate it, but they'll come and
difficult
see
to take
and
photos
feel.
Of white,
yeah.
actually, but yes.
But there's almost the texture that, you, I guess this is reflecting what you were saying, that there is the texture of the paint is there, as it would be, you know, with surfaces and edges. And I'm not describing it very well, because that's not something I've ever had to describe before.
Well, I've overemphasised the edges, I suspect, simply to make sure that there are edges.
I mean, these bits here, where you would probably normally see
big
colours,
brush strokes
the
of colour
changing in the palette.
That's right. You'd see great swathes of yellow, green, whatever, and you know, they'd be dark in the background. If you can imagine a broad brush oil painting, and that was the theory behind that one, to sort of try and create that surface, but without using the colour to make it obvious.
And how long have you been pursuing this side then?
What, the tactile art?
Yeah.
Ever since university, really,
right.
Which wasn't that long ago, because I did it as a mature student. But my dissertation was about art and the visually impaired. And before that, I'd done major essays on visual perception and things. So it's always been something that's been really, really interesting to me to find out more about. And it's a natural progression in some ways to just, okay, how far can I actually take this? Where can it go? And this time, I took some paintings into the Isle of Wight Society for the Blind back in January and had such great feedback that I thought, well, actually, let's see if we can do a bit more with that.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's the first sort of major show you've done of this many pieces, is it?
I have done some on the mainland in the past.
Okay.
But it's the first one since moving here, for sure.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
So if we could, did you say this one's Newport, this map?
Yeah. Well, the title is PO30.
Right. Okay. And so there's again, it's another selection of materials here.
Yes.
And it's almost a sort of a rubbery plastic.
Yeah, the water is on there as this different texture again.
Yeah.
It's actually bath sealant.
Is it?
Yeah, that
right,
one.
Okay.
And we've got and there are piped lines basically.
Right.
Which are the roads.
That's a lot of patience.
Yeah, and it's not that easy, because you can't make a mistake, really.
Right, there is no rubber.
There's no rubber, right. Exactly. So, so double lines for major roads on this scale.
Yeah.
And then woodland with a textured glass bead paste that you would normally use in conjunction with acrylic colour to create some texture in a painting.
Okay. So these techniques are used in colour paintings as
well? As well, yeah. Well, some of the materials will be, yes, for
right.
sure.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm quite amazed at some people being able to work out where things are, even though they can't see this map.
Yeah, that is extraordinary, incredible, isn't it? Yeah.
Where we take so much for granted, being able to see. Mm. But the amount of information held mentally,
right,
if you have visual impairment, has got to be enormous, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to map your entire environment.
Yeah, extraordinary.
Mm.
I'm getting carried away.
But it also, but you see, the other thing that really all art is based on is it makes you look.
Mm.
I mean, you can touch these as well, but it does make you look. I didn't realise there was that much greenery around Newport until I started really looking at the map.
Right,
you know?
And that's the glass bead section.
That's all of the slightly rough glass bead bit. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Which again, you know. It's like everything, the sequence of building the surfaces up, because this the water bit, the water bit's the Medina, had to go on last after varnishing, because I can't varnish on top of that.
Right, right.
So it's
because
a question, just think about the process.
The varnishing, it's
well, I suspect it might react. It might react with the rubber. You think about what goes onto the rubber sealant you have around your bath, and how eventually that degrades, doesn't it?
So
it's the same principle, really, just making sure that you haven't done that.
So how large is your palette of tactile
textures?
Material?
Oh, I have a little sketchbook with all of my recipes in things that have worked, things haven't worked.
Right.
You know, to just come up with stuff. And whether something is going to just be a textured painting or whether it's going to be a tactile painting will be different for me as well, because if I'm just creating a textured painting, which I'm not going to say is touchable, then things don't have to be quite so robust, obviously.
Yes.
But the children love it, you see, as well. So you have to allow for that.
Yeah. Right.
I can't really hang it higher than the children can reach.
Yeah, that'd be too mean. Yeah. Very good. I mean, there's one here with some green lighting on it as well.
Yes, that's right. Well. There's a story behind that one too. One of the ladies that I talked to at the Isle of Wight Society of the Blind had a bit of a problem understanding why I only wanted to produce white work. But white work is my practice, and therefore I didn't really want to compromise that. But obviously a visually impaired person can see the edges between colours or light and dark. So it's almost a bit of an oxymoron to say, well, I'm going to produce work that the visually impaired can appreciate, but it's only going to be white. So this is my sort of compromising my principles slightly here by creating an edge, a coloured edge, but by using light behind the canvas instead of actually putting colour on it. So cutting out holes is my rather devious way of getting to that point.
That was fun getting to that solution of
It keeps your brain going, doesn't it? Yeah, thinking how I know I need to produce something with colour, but I'm not going to use colour. How am I going to get there? And this is actually, there are 100 little various shaped triangles in that.
That really doesn't look like 100.
For a reason. There are, according to some research I actually checked, there are 100 people a day in the UK starting to lose their sight.
Wow.
So, you know, I was looking for some... You have to have a hook sometimes to sort of get the brain going on how you're going to do something.
You know, I just... when I was coming up here, I saw my next-door neighbour who, sadly, is losing his sight. And he said, I haven't been to the Roman Villa for ages. And I thought to say to him, why don't you come along? And it would have been absolutely ideal for him to come along and
actually
feel...
and be able to touch some stuff.
Because his background is... He was at the National Portrait Gallery. And he was doing restoration, doing the science behind the restoration as well.
Perhaps I'm glad you didn't bring him then. But it's always interesting. Always interesting to get different people's take on these things as well.
Very good.
Thank you.
Well, there's colour in this one. There's stones and sticks on this one as well.
There's actually sound in that one too.
Is there?
I think that the gentleman here turned it off because it's quite loud. Okay. It goes off every time somebody goes by it.
Okay.
So, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
This is going to blow your little microphone.
Is there a sensor? Okay. Right.
Right. Now, if you go and walk past it or something, it would probably go up again.
So here we're coming from the side. Oh, maybe I'm not... Oh, here we go. Okay. Right.
And but obviously, there's a 6 second burst of sound.
Yeah.
And when it was busy earlier, every time someone went to the toilet, it went off.
Constantly.
So I think they need. That's why it needed to go off. I'll turn it off again.
Okay. I've noticed on the birds here, Braille.
Yes.
Now that's describing the bird, or is it saying which type of bird it is?
No, that's very, very. I have, with reception, got an alphabet Braille card.
Yeah.
So if people wanted to, they could work out what they say.
Let's not spoil it then. Okay.
And there are quite a few bits.
Okay.
Okay. So Eric very kindly produced me some Braille to my design.
Yeah.
On white paper, so that I could then stick it in.
Right.
And also colour it. So on this stone, for example, there's some Braille.
Right.
But you can't... I've watercoloured it so that it matches in.
Right. And is that something when people were having a feel of these earlier, did they instantly identify those? I mean, Braille must become very familiar, the shape of it. I mean, apart from recognising the letters, oh my goodness, I thought that was just a load of bumpy stuff. And I know that's definitely Braille because it feels so familiar.
Mm. Well, that's right. Once... It takes time to see, in inverted commas, a picture when you're touching it, because you've obviously got to touch all of it and build
take
up
it all
a
in.
Mental picture of what's there.
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't always hit the Braille when you're doing that. But, they quite liked where that was, I think. There was some different bits to see there as well.
Right. I've just seen a couple of other bits spotted in here. Right.
But I'm not going to tell you what they say.
Okay. Very good.
It's quite a logical language, actually. But not so many people actually read Braille anymore because technology has made that not such a necessity.
I remember back in the 90s coming across a Braille terminal for use of a computer. It's just absolutely extraordinary that the way it was, people read from the screen with their fingers and it's the Braille was produced, and then the next line would come up, and just extraordinary.
Yeah. But it's a very logical language, actually, which is quite good. That appeals to me.
Yeah. Very good. Well, look, thank you very much for your time.
That's okay. Enjoyed it.
And
bring your friend to come and see.
Yes. Yeah, we'll do. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
That's okay.